Today in our thinking, we're going to be looking at some of the promises of God and what he has promised to do for us. And we're going to be thinking about those and how we can stand on those promises. Father, we declare today that you are great. And we come before you as your children. Thank you that you invite us into your presence to worship you. Would you inspire us by your Holy Spirit to worship you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but isn't it great when people make you a promise and they keep it? And sometimes people make promises, but they don't keep it. I was reminded a few weeks ago that I had promised to take my mum out for dinner and that I hadn't kept my promise. But mum was waiting. Mum didn't say anything, but my sister reminded me. And a few days later, I was able to say, "Mum, how about I take you out for that dinner I'd promised?" And me and my mum went out and we had a lovely dinner together. And great time just sharing with my amazing mum. Isn't it great when we have promises made and promises are kept? And God is the great promise keeper. And there are going to be people running around and they've got loads of cards. They're just little ones like this that they're going to give out now. And it's a promise from God's word. So you can start handing them out, guys. Just make sure you get one. And if you get one and you think, "Ooh, this is a promise that I think is really applicable to somebody else," then why don't you just get up and go and see that person if they're here and say, "I think this is a promise of God for you." And so there are promise cards being handed out. Grab one. Take it as a promise for you, but if you think it's also applicable to somebody else, I'd love you to get up and share that with somebody else, and then grab another one that may be for you. That means you can stand up and move around if you need to. So I've got a few here. One of them says, "God promises to be with you in the night and to calm your fears." Maybe you have trouble sleeping and thinking that God's not with you, but God promises not to let you out of his sight. He watches over you just as he does the birds of the air. There are some people moved. That's great. Wonderful. But maybe as you think about it, there are more promise cards around. Have a look through them and see if you think this is for you that you can claim, or there's another one that you could pick up and know that it's for somebody else. The promise of God is that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's come before him knowing that confession is on the condition, with the promise, that he will cleanse us and restore us to that intimate relationship with him. We say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and his peace now and forever. And Lord, in that confession, we just said that you would restore to us the joy of our salvation. Holy Spirit, Would you come now and fill us with your joy? Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, release joy, release laughter. Come, Holy Spirit. Release your joy in hearts and lives now. We're going to have a reading, I think. We'll just do the first reading.
The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It was this time last year, I think, that a group of us headed off to Focus, and this Wednesday the advance party heads off to Focus to set up camp, and then Thursday I think there's about 24 or 25 of us will be going to Focus. And it was while we were at Focus last year, meeting with about 7,500 other Christians, that the song that we sung earlier, All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen, hit me. I don't know about you, but sometimes even thinking about it now, there are songs that just get you here. Because there's so much truth in them. And that there's something about God unpeeling the truth that settles in your heart. All God's promises are yes. And through him we speak the Amen. All God's promises are yes and amen in Jesus. It was a while back now on one of our Thursday morning prayer meetings that I asked those who were there and praying. We had sheets of paper from those flip charts and we had them around and put out some pens and said, I would love you to write on those flip charts a promise that you take today from God, a promise for you. And one of our people who were there sharing with us that morning came up to me and he said, this has blown my mind. So I said, why? And their response was, I thought it was all about me making promises to God. I thought it was all about me having to promise God that I would live for him, that I would serve him, that I would be faithful to him, that I would keep his commands, that I'd live by his standards. And I have never grasped that the Bible is so full of promises that I can claim because God has made them for me, and I can claim a promise for me. And as I watched that morning, people were going round and writing on those pieces of paper promises from God's word that either had become, were becoming, or that they had faith to believe would be a promise that they received from God. The Bible is so full of promises for you. For every person, whatever race, gender, ethnicity, wherever they have come from, whatever status, whatever their background, the Bible has a promise for you. Here are some of the promises that we've already been thinking about this morning, even as we came to pray together before this service, that God will never leave us or forsake us. He promises to be with us. He promises to hear our prayers, to watch over us, to sustain and provide for us. When he returns, he promises that all tears will be wiped away. He promises that anybody that comes to him will never be turned away. He promises to give us eternal life, that we would never perish as believers. He promises to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He promises that if we ask, we will receive. If we knock, the door will be opened. If we seek, we will find. All God's promises are yes and amen because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And because of that, we can stand on those promises and claim them. And just as my sister picked up the phone and said, "Trev, you made a promise to Mum, do it." I believe we have the right to go to the Father and say, "You promised. You promised. I'm reminding you, God, of your promise." And then to stand on, that's when we say amen. We stand on that promise and say, "God, you promised, let it be so." So who are these promises for? Well, I think there are universal promises for everybody, whoever they are. I think that there are then some that are specific for us when we come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Then I think there are some that have conditions with them. And I think there are some promises for specific situations. The first category, if you like, there's these promises that are for everyone. Jesus says, "Anyone who comes to me, I will not reject. I will not turn away." John 6:37. Jesus says it. "Anyone who comes to me, I will not turn away." And then we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise that we can hold on to. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Somebody was asking me earlier, "Is our son a Christian?" I can stand here and say yes. Because I know at one time he called on the name of the Lord. His lifestyle at the moment doesn't reflect that. But I know God's got hold of him. And I'm standing on the promise that one day our son will be doing what I'm doing. Maybe not quite the same, but he'll be doing something in ministry. I believe that promise of God. Romans 1:16 says, "The gospel brings eternal life to everyone who believes." Acts says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." And the whole of the gospel is summed up, is it not, in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." And we can stand firm on that promise that whoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. I love the following verse that we so often miss out. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." He didn't come to condemn us and say, "You naughty people." He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That is a universal promise for all who trust in Jesus. And today, with a certainty, you can know that you have eternal life Because it's not based on who you are or what you've done. It's not based on how good you are, whether you come to church, whether you pray, whether you read your Bible. It's based on one condition only, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has done it all. And it's just for us to receive. You can know his promise today that you will have eternal life. Then there are promises for believers. So to the believer, he promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. Matthew 28:1, as Jesus is commissioning the disciples, he commissions them, sends them out, and he says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews 13, I think it's verse 5, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lois loves reading the Amplified version of the Bible. It's a Bible that sort of tries to take some of the original language that the Bible was written in, Greek, and it tries to expand on the words that we see and give all the meanings for that particular word, so that you get a better understanding of what the word originally in the Greek means now. So, for instance, repentance is often the word, talks about metamorphosis, and it's about being changed. And this verse is one of Lois's particular favorites in the Amplified version. So in the NIV, it reads like this: keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with whatever you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. In the Good News Bible, it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you. The Amplified Bible puts it like this: let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money, shun greed, be financially ethical, being content with what you have, for God has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. I will not, I will not, I will not forsake you or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God's promise is that he will never leave us or forsake us. And God has promised his Holy Spirit to all believers. And we see in that passage that we read that the Spirit is the deposit in us that guarantees the inheritance that we're to have. He's written in us by his Holy Spirit the certainty of what we will receive. Then there are conditional promises. Again, there was one on the floor earlier that I saw that was a brief take of a promise that's in the Old Testament when Solomon is dedicating the temple. And he prays that God will bless Israel. And God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them. And I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Do we not need some healing in our land? And God's promise is that if we humble ourselves, what's humility? Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not really. You know, when we say it like that, what we're really saying is, I am good enough. But I'm just going to say I'm not. I had an auntie that if you went to dinner and she'd done a delicious pudding or dessert and you'd say, oh, this dessert is really lovely. Oh, no, it's not really. It's, you know, I just put something, I just threw it together. It's not really that good, you know. But actually what she was fishing for was compliments and pride, because she knew it was good. True humility is actually recognizing who you truly are and then thanking God for him giving you that gift. One of the other things that I'd love to challenge you all about is humility to come and receive prayer. Because so many of us, actually, we know that we need to be prayed for, yet our pride keeps us in our seats because we don't want to be seen to be walking forward to receive prayer. But as I've said to many of you here already, there is something about the humility of getting out of our seats and making a step of faith, a literal step of faith, and coming to receive prayer that activates our faith, and God says, I'm going to minister now because of your humility and kneeling before me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear, answer their prayer, and heal their land. And then I think there are promises for particular and specific situations. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, when you are brought before the synagogue, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. I loved the other week when Sandy was here talking about prayer ministry, and he said that there's somebody here who has a word. Somebody who had a prophetic word. He said, you may only have the first word, but in faith, as you begin to speak that word, God will give you the rest. And sometimes, if you're like me, what you want is you want it all sewn up before you're prepared to say, okay, I'll do that. But again, faith is about saying, I'll take the risk and start with the word that God has given me. Many of you may have heard this story before, but I remember in Alpha, there was a person who was given a word, and it was one word, and they spoke the word, and as they spoke the single word, the word was bicycle. There was somebody who broke into tears instantly. God will give you a specific word, and you can trust his promise that that word will not return to him void, but will accomplish that which he sent it. Because he says that's what it will do. And we can stand on those promises of God. Perhaps sometimes it feels a bit like my mum. Perhaps sometimes it feels like the promise has been made, but where's my meal? The promise has been made, but when's it going to happen? Sometimes it's standing firm, waiting for God's time. Because sometimes if it's our time, it happens too early. And we mess things up. And if you're like me, one of the things that I like to try and do is engineer God into the position where he has to do it. Sort of a little bit of manipulation sometimes. We should have the confidence to stand on God's word and what he says and in his promises. Lois often relays the story that when it was about school trips for our kids, the kids would come home with the form and we'd fill in the form and send it back to school so that they could go on the trip. And then the kids would come back and say, we need to pay. And Lois said, yeah, we'll pay. The trip is booked. It's all okay. One of our kids would walk away and go, okay, great. Sorted. She wouldn't worry about the money. Because we'd said, and yes, that will happen. Our son was more worried about when it would happen, if it would get paid, and therefore if he would go on the trip. I want to encourage you to be more like our daughter. Mum said yes. She'll sort the rest out. I'm going. There's an old hymn that I grew up with. It's one of those hymns that in the chapel I used to go to was sung fairly often. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I will prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect, present cleansing in his blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I shall not fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Saviour as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. What promise can you take from God's word today and hold on to? Maybe you're feeling good, but maybe you're not. Today there's a promise in Scripture for you that you can stand on, knowing that God is faithful, because all of his promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Stand on them. Take them. Declare them. Remind God of them. And he will fulfill all his promises. Amen. Amen. So we're coming to our time of intercession, but again, what I want to ask this morning is that there's an opportunity to receive prayer, and if you're struggling with anything and you need a promise of God, then between now and the end of the service, just come to the front. Somebody will come with you and pray with you. Actually, if a couple of prayer ministry team people would come and be here ready, that would be great. And it doesn't matter when you come, how you come. I encourage you to take faith, take step of faith today and receive from Jesus. Somebody's going to come and pray, I hope. Faith.
This morning we're going to be mainly thinking about our government, and in particular the Queen. I think she's going to have a bit of a tricky week. So that's what our intercessions are going to be about. So in 1 Timothy 2, it tells us to pray for our leaders so that we can be free to worship and to praise God. So it's not just for their sake, but it is also for ours. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of those who heed the call to leadership, whether that be in local government or national government, or international institutions. Lord, when you created the world, you created it with order, not with chaos. And you give us this as a model to follow. So we lift to you all of those involved in our government. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to speak to them clearly. We hope and we pray that they will listen and heed what you're saying. Give them sleep. Give them wisdom. Give them what they need in terms of resources to do your work, whatever that might be. And above all, Lord, give them integrity and a heart for you. For those who think they may be called, Lord, just reinforce that. And clear obstacles from their path. And Lord, we lift our Queen to you. She has been steadfast, and we know she is a daughter of God. She leads us as a Christian, and we thank and we praise you for her. We pray that you will be with her this week, that she will provide good counsel, and that she will uphold our constitution in a difficult time. And Lord, we pray for all of us in our submission to authority, as you have commanded. Give us loving hearts. Help us not to think about our own personal politics, whatever they may be, but to live our lives in service to one another and to love one another as you have commanded, knowing that this life will end and we will have eternal life with you, in which all of these fears and worries and divisions will just end. And Lord, you tell us, and we have sung, that we have the same power through the provision of your Holy Spirit. And so in that power, we declare your healing over our nation. We declare your healing over those who are unwell in their bodies, those known to us and those known only to you. Lord, we declare your healing over those who are unwell in their minds and those beset by worry. Help them to know that they can rely on you and on your promises, that you are the name above all names and that no problem is too big for you. And Lord, we thank you most gratefully for your promises to us, both as a nation and individually. Some of us will have been given promises a long time ago that we're still waiting for you to fulfill, but we know that you will, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray patience. And Lord, some of us have been given promises just today. Maybe they're small ones, maybe they're big ones. But thank you. Thank you that you continually give us reassurance of your love. And Lord, Psalm 139, verse 14 says that I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that our promises from you are as individual as we are. We've sung, come as you are. Lord, help us to rest in your words, knowing that you have created us as you intended us to be, unique, nothing like the person we're sitting next to, and that the promises you have for us will reflect that and help us to rest easy in that uniqueness that you have given. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we continue in prayer, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So standing on the promises of God, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.